Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. I'm going to ask you to turn this morning to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the third, there's only three chapters in 2 Peter. And I want you to turn to the very last two verses of 2 Peter, chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Verse 17 says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led astray with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Just notice in verse 18 the word grow. The word grow. 3 weeks ago I preached a message called Spiritual Maturity. Last week I preached the message I titled Spiritual Stability. And it had to do with growing and maturing in our faith and how important that is. And there's no, and as I stated last week, there's nothing that concerns me more as a pastor and the spiritual maturity and stability of all of us in the as the people of God in this local church body at Christian Heritage, but also in the greater community. Of faith, as the church everywhere, we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what is stated here in verse 18 of this chapter 3. And so I just want to encourage you to go there with me today as we deal with the subject of growing up. Growing up. Would you just pray with me briefly again? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to hear your word, to not be just hearers of it, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Apostle Peter wrote two brief letters. We have them here recorded, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. The very last words that Peter ever said are here, that we have recorded for us, are here in these last two verses, these two verses that we read as our text today. And we understand that these last words are important for us to hear and understand, being they the last two that he recorded. But more than that, that the Bible also teaches us that holy men of God moved along by the Holy Spirit, penned these words. So they're not just Peter's words, although Peter, God used his personality, the words that were inspired by God. They were God-breathed, as the scripture teaches us. And so we need to heed this word today. And so here we notice the word grow, and so may God help us to grow. Peter was a leader in the early church. We see him always mentioned, sometimes specifically, where the Lord just calls out Peter by name, but we'll see mentioned together, Peter, James, and John. But there's no question that Peter took leadership within those early disciples. And so I want us just to really to look at what Peter is saying to us, to that generation, but saying to us in our own generation as well. There was this little boy in kids' church on an occasion where his the kids' pastor was teaching on creation, a creation story, and saying, letting the kids know that not only did he create the heavens and the earth, but he created every one of the boys and girls, they created human beings. And a little boy raised his hand, or maybe he didn't raise his hand since I wasn't there. You know how that goes. But he said, he made part of me. She said, what do you mean? He only made part of you. What do you mean by that? Little boy said, he made part of me little, and I growed the rest of me by myself. Well, there's some truth to that. We know God is the creator of all, but I want to tell you, when it comes to our growth, we have responsibility. When it comes to growth and development, you and I have to take some responsibilities. We have accountability. And growth is something you can teach someone, you can show someone where food is, you can't make them eat. God is one that also is the same way. He doesn't force us to grow, but he gives us all the nutrients. He gives us everything we need for us to develop and to grow. We've mentioned this a couple of times recently, but C.S. Lewis said these words. He said, you cannot stay a good egg forever. You're either going to rot or you're going to hatch. You got one of two choices. In fact, growth is inherent to life. If something is alive, something's living, it is also growing. And God wants us to be growing. And when we think about spiritual development, we must remember that God wants us to grow spiritually. See, the scripture says that when we have come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we believe upon him, we are born again. But we're spiritual babies at that point. And his desire is that from the point of being a spiritual baby, just like a natural baby, the idea is that the child will come to full maturity. He also desires that spiritual babies, people born again, come to spiritual maturity. And it was Peter that was concerned with growing. He was concerned with growing. In fact, he says here to us, in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We notice the conjunction but before the word grow, so we have to look to verse 17 again. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Being led away with the error of the wicked. He was saying that there is if we're not careful, we'll be led astray, we'll be led in error, and our steadfastness, our steadiness, our walk with the Lord will lose ground and we won't be growing. So we got to be very careful about false teaching and doctrine and error, and we got to be careful about the philosophies of this world. We got to be careful about the everything of this world that will garner our attention and draw us away from the Spirit of God and get us off track in terms of our spiritual development. The greatest development that needs to go on in our life is spiritual development. Now, there's a lot of things. Now, knowledge is great. It's wonderful to grow in a lot of different areas. What I'm pointing out to is that is what's most important. Now, I grew up, I've learned poetry and things like that. And I think, well, what good is that really? You know, that's what I'm saying. A lot of things we learn, some of it's helpful to us through life, for your job and different things. For some reason, I can remember all kinds of stuff that I don't know what good it does me. Ninth grade English, Mr. Miller, he said we need to learn poetry. So I learned, gaily bedight, a gallant knight in sunshine and in shadow had journeyed long, singing a song in search of El Dorado. But as his strength failed him in length, he met a pilgrim shadow. Shadow said he, where could it be, this land of El Dorado? Over the mountains of the moon, down the valley of shadow, ride, boldly ride, the shade replied, if you seek for El Dorado, by Edgar Allan Poe. Now, the idea here, I don't know what good that would do me in life. We need to be focused on what's helpful. And the thing that is most important is our spiritual growth. The word grow means to increase in size, in amount. This word grow means to gradually come into being. It means to move toward maturity, grow. He wants us to grow. And Peter understood this well. You see, Peter was the man whom Jesus said to him along with the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And Peter spoke up. And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter, he came to that place of maturity. When he first started following the Lord, I'm sure he would not have been able to say that with the confidence and that he said it on that occasion. But he grew to a place of maturity to be able to do that. We also see the Apostle Peter as he, on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 people were saved as he preached the gospel. But I want you to note, this same man, Peter, was the one who had the great denial of the Lord a little earlier. It was that Peter. And so Peter understood that he had, there's some room for growth, and I had to grow to a place of maturity. And I had a long way to go when I was just born again. And when I had just come in my relationship with Jesus and became a disciple, there was a long way for me to grow and to mature. And it was a process of development. And he would have us to understand the same thing. That's why in the text here, he says, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't grow in the vain philosophies of this world. Those things are of less importance, and in many of them have no importance whatsoever. But we've got to know what should be paramount, what should be preeminent in our life. And that is the things that will lead us into right relationship with God. With God. So we need to understand spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? What is spiritual growth? G.K. Chesterton is attributed with these words that all of us could say, I think, with where we are now. We would agree with this. That man is not what he was intended to be. We could all say that. We can look around the world and we could say in agreement, yes, amen, that humankind is not what God had intended man to be. In fact, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God also created humankind. He created man, and what I want to point out today is that he created man in the image of God and in the likeness of God. In the image of God and in his likeness. But sin entered the human race through one man, Adam. And Eve was deceived, but Adam, he voluntarily, volition, in a voluntary way, he just did it. He just did it. Have you ever just did it? You knew what you were doing. And the scripture says that all have sinned. Since that day when sin entered the human race, all of the human race is guilty of sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, sometimes we'll say, you know, that person's really a good person. But the truth of the matter is, man is not basically good. That's the opposite of what people say a lot of times. People say, well, you know, they basically good. No, basically we're not good. In fact, again, the word of Paul to the Romans that's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God and breathed by God was that none are righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. And so what happened was mankind sinned. And when sin came into the human race, when Adam sinned, it marred the image of God on his life. He was created in the image and likeness of God, but sin marred that image. Sin came, and that image no longer did Adam reflect the image of God. And that's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's why God came to the rescue, and therefore God through Jesus Christ came to save us. He came to forgive us. He came to deliver us. But I don't want to get too far away from it, because he did come to save us and to that we would be restored to the likeness of God and to the image of God. That's what he did. He came through Jesus Christ. God came to save us. To save us. See, this is a transformational work that he does. It's transformational. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, it's in Christ Jesus that you and I are restored, that we are saved. And if we're in Christ, we're new creations. You see, what the Lord desires to do is restore what sin has marred, what sin has destroyed, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy what has been destroyed in our life through sin. He came to restore, and if you're in Christ today, if you're in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Listen, that is transformation today. That's incredible. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. And now he's talking to believers. Because they've already, when you come into Christ, you're transformed, right? But what he's telling them of the Roman church, and here in 12:2, he's telling them, don't you allow, now that you're in right relationship with God, for you allow the enemy to start trying to conform you, that you don't allow the world to conform you. And that word conformed is where it begins to press us into the world mold. That's why Jesus said, you live in the world, but don't be of the world. Don't allow the world to conform you. You're in it, but don't be of it. That's why John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he talks about that. But then he says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Because when we get caught up in the world system of things, where we live according to the dictates of how this world wants you to live, what is that? We want to retaliate. We want to hate when somebody does something against us. We want to hit back. We want to do everything out of the flesh. But what we learn that that's not God's will, that we conform to the ways of this world, that if somebody cusses us out, we cuss them back. That's not what he's wanting for us. He's not wanting us to live according to us and practice sin. But he desires that we be transformed. Transformed is an inner work. An inner work where our very essence changes. The very substance of who we are. It's that deeper thing that we were singing about just a while ago. When that deeper work begins to work within us internally, things are changed inside of us. That's transformation and spiritual growth. When we're answering the question today of what is spiritual growth is transformation. It's transformation, a work of transformation that God does within us in Christ Jesus. But it is a transformation work by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's incredible what the Spirit of the Lord does. I want to look at 2 Corinthians just for a moment. You'll put that next verse up there for me. 2 Corinthians, verse 5. Or 17, not that one, the next one on 2 Corinthians. What it does, it teaches us, chapter 3, I think. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is not where I want to be right now. That's not that verse. But let me just tell you this. He desires that we be transformed from glory to glory. From glory to glory. You can probably find that one back there. It's there somewhere, if you'll help me with that. It is like looking into a mirror and being transformed. It is reflecting the likeness of God. It is reflecting his glory. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches us. It's like when Adam was created by God in his image, that he was not God. Adam was not God, but he was created in his image to reflect God. See, a lot of times false doctrine comes about, but people say, well, Adam is God. Like he was exact in every way God. That's not true at all. That's false teaching. He was a reflection of the nature of God. He was a reflection of the person of God. And likewise, you and I in Christ Jesus, we are not little Christs, as some false teachings would claim. We are only a reflection of Jesus. And when we look into the mirror of God's word, we are changed from glory to glory. Changed from glory to glory. We're to become more like him every day. We're to become more like him every moment in time. We are to look like him. He wants us to look like the Lord, and he wants us to reflect him. And so we need to be increasing to look more and more like him all the time. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed from glory to glory. We're to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, reflecting the glory of God. That's what's supposed to be going on in our life, reflecting his glory. That is spiritual growth. That is spiritual growth. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Notice that. But here it's saying he'll sanctify us completely. He'll make us whole in spirit, soul, and body. This transformational work that's going on in our life spiritually and spiritual growth affects the whole person, all of us, every area of our lives. It's to affect it all. It's not partial. It's not partial at all, but it's everything. And I want to tell you something. It's not a fake transformation. It affects the real person. It's just not an issue of mind over matter. It's not just an incredible idea. It's actually, he transforms our life. We know the difference between real and fake. A Christmas tree, a fake Christmas tree, although they're getting real good at it, I don't care how many lights you put on and ornaments are on it, it's still fake. But what I'm talking about is when his transformational work, it changes the inside of us. It changes the essence of who we are. It changes. It's not just cosmetic makeup. It's a transformation of us being restored into the image that God desired for us to be. And it's all done in Jesus Christ. And so this is what spiritual growth means. So how do we grow spiritually? So how do we grow spiritually? Well, the first thing I want to mention is that we're to be growing in our relationship with the Lord. We're to be growing in our relationship with the Lord. The most important thing any of us can do in this room is grow in our relationship with the Lord. And I just want to ask you, how is it between you and the Lord today? I want to ask you about what was the last passage of scripture you read, or what was your thoughts the last time you were thinking about the Lord and all that. Now, I don't say that to bring guilt or shame on anybody. I do that to challenge us, because we're all together in this. All of us are needing to grow. And I'm saying that as a challenge to all of us to really think about how we are growing in our relationship with the Lord. How are we growing in that relationship? When the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of suffering. But I want to focus there, that I may know him. He was intent on knowing the Lord. It was his desire to know the Lord more and more. And so it should be ours to know him more in how to follow him, to know him more regarding in our prayer life, to know him more in terms of his word, to know him that I may know him. Not that I can memorize more poetry. Not that I memorize more stats, baseball stats. I used to memorize a back of cards. I know what year this person hit when they played in 1977, 79. And then I would say, Mama, I can't remember that stuff at school. She said, yes, you can. It was a whole lot more interesting on the back of a baseball card. But Paul's saying what should interest us more than anything is our development spiritually, is our progressing spiritually. And so how do we do that? We do that by desiring and growing in our relationship with the Lord. Now we also need to grow in our relationship with others. We need to grow in our relationship with others. We need other people. We need one another. That to me has been the hardest thing that we've dealt with in the church over the last 4 or 5 months now. is because we've not been able to be together, for many of us, as much as we'd like to. That does not come without a price. Because in the body of Christ, we're meant to come together. We're meant to assemble together. We're meant to be near one another and to fellowship with one another, to grow in likeness together, to be able to experience our relationship with the Lord together. And when I talk about growing in our relationships with others, I'm talking about sharpening one another. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As iron sharpens iron. We're not to dull one another. We're to make each other sharper spiritually, and we need one another. But how we do that is through being with one another. One of the things that is very profitable for us is to be able to talk to one another, to have communication and fellowship with one another, to talk. I tell you, I've learned more about God's word by talking to other believers. I really have, through the years. There's private time. There's private time that I need. In fact, Jesus himself, he drew away, according to Mark 1:35, he drew away to a solitary place before the break of day, before daylight, and he went to a solitary place to spend time with God in communion and prayer with God. So if he did that, I need to do that. That's important, my growing in my relationship with him. But I also need to grow in my relationship with other believers and grow and together and have fellowship together and experience the Lord and share what God is doing in my life with you and you with me. And that's why life groups that we have are so important. And we do have some life groups that are continuing now. Some on Zoom by computer. Some are meeting in person. But those are very valuable. But also every time an opportunity we get to be with other believers and actually talk about the Lord. It should not be awkward for Christians to talk about the Lord. In the family, and among the body of Christ. Because we need those kind of relationships that will help us to grow together. We live in a world of globalization. These words you'll hear a lot of times on media, urbanization. We live in this world of technology. And all of this social stuff that we call the social media. But the truth of the matter is, we've grown in isolation, where conversations on the front porch are not had near as much among family. That conversations and fellowship just in throughout life are so limited. In fact, we live in a life where go to work, come home, shut the garage door, and don't even know our neighbors' names. Because really society has taught us to do it that way. We've kind of just got lulled into it. You're worn out by the end of the day and you just kind of go hide. But the truth of the matter is we need one another. We need one another. And so a part of our spiritual maturity is growing with one another and growing together. But it also is growing in our relationship with others in need. We need to grow in our relationship with others in need. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All those words, I want to just simplify and say this. The scriptures compare the body of Christ, that is all the people of God, the church, the people which make up the church, as the body of Christ. And he compares the physical body to the spiritual body, which we are all made up of the body of Christ. But if my foot hurts, the rest of me tries to do what it can to help my foot, right? I'm talking about physically. Spiritually, you and I are different parts of the body. And if you're hurting somewhere, I'm supposed to be helping you. If I'm hurting, you're supposed to be helping me. We're supposed to be building one another. So if somebody is running the race and they trip up and fall, a part of that growing that needs to go on in my life is that I will grow in my relationship to others in need, so it helps the whole body of Christ. And so that's how we need to be growing in our relationship to the Lord, growing in our relationship to others, but also growing in our relationship to others in need. It can't be just everybody that's doing good. It can't just be about everybody who's got their act together. The church is not just about everybody that's got their act together. Would you say, thank the Lord for that? Because if it was everybody that had their act together, all of us would be in bad shape at some point or another. So what are the signs of spiritual growth? It's great to know what it means. It's great to know how to, but what are the signs that it's actually happening? It's happening when we're learning more about Jesus. If you're learning more about Jesus, spiritual growth is happening. If you feel like you're learning more about Jesus right in this moment right now, I want to tell you, spiritual growth can be happening right now. But what we got to keep in mind is this. James chapter 1 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So a sign of my spiritual growth and a sign of spiritual growth is I'm learning to be like Jesus. I'm learning more about Jesus. I'm learning more about his word. I'm learning more about being a doer of his word, not just a hearer of it. Because if we're just hearing it this morning, but we're not doing anything, it's just like me looking in a mirror, is what James is saying. I look in the mirror, and I find out I needed to comb my hair. My hairs. I needed to comb my hairs, especially this little twig thing right up here. But don't turn from the mirror, forget what I even look like, go about my day. And somebody said he didn't comb down his twig. Not wig, twig. But that's what it's like when we are hearers only and we're not doers of the word. It's like walking away and forgetting what I look like. But here we're going, so a sign of my growth is that I'm learning more about him. I'm learning more about him. There's this old hymn. I just want to quote the words of it here. It's more about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Second verse, more about Jesus. Let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Third verse, more about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Oh, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. So that's the greatest sign is that I'm learning more about Jesus. And then I'm living more like Jesus. I'm living more like Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, 1, verse 1 says, be imitators of God. Do you know the greatest way to live like Jesus is just imitate Jesus? Paul said that. He said, be imitators of God. He said on occasion, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate. Listen, that's what kids do. That's what we did. We didn't even know we was imitating our parents, but we talked like them. We didn't even try. Just one day, all of a sudden, somebody said, you sound like your daddy. Or somebody said, you're just like your mama. There were certain things you picked up on. You didn't even know it. But when we start being not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, all of a sudden we're starting to imitate Jesus, and then we start living like him. We talk like him. We just sound like him. There's something different about us. And so I want to encourage you to imitate the Lord. Learn and live more like him. And then right after Ephesians 5:1, when Paul said, imitate God, be imitators of God, it said, walk in love. Learn more about him, live more like him, and love more like him. Love more like him. God is love. God is love. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, we magnify you, we lift your name up. I pray, God, that you would help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen this body and strengthen this church. You would lift us up and hold us up, God. I pray, Lord, that we would not lose our steadfastness, but that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would do according to 1 Peter 2 and 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. I pray, Lord, that we would do according to Hebrews 6 and 1, where God, we would not be satisfied on just where we are in Christ, but we would do as the writer of Hebrews suggested to us, told us that we need to do, that we would move on beyond just the elementary teachings of the things of the Lord, but that we would grow deeper. He said that we would move on to perfection, which means maturity, that we would move on to perfection in you. God, I pray that if anyone is listening to us or on the radio or watching this broadcast at some time in the future, Lord, I pray that you, God, would touch their lives. I pray, Lord, that they don't know you, that they would believe upon you, that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior, that they would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and they would desire to be restored into right relationship with you. And if they will believe upon you, they shall be saved. God, I pray, Lord, for those in this room that are right here in this room and those that are listening and watching today, I pray that every believer would grow stronger in their faith today, that it would be their heart's desire to know you like never before, to grow in their relationship with you, and that would be their heart's pursuit more than anything else. We give you praise. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.